and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy, here with Pat, and today is Wednesday, February 17th, 2021.
$52,045.48. Market cap, $972 billion. Bitcoin is up 3.9% from its what used to be its all-time high of about 50,000 to over 52,000 in one day. And I think really what we're going to start watching for now is that $1 trillion market cap. At that point, it will start approaching the largest companies in the world. It's already one of the largest companies in the world by market cap, but it's crazy. Ethereum crossed 1,900 today. It's stabilized right now at $1,899.20, up 7.5%. But it was briefly at 19,100, somewhere in that range. So new all time high for Ethereum. It is now knocking on the door for 2,000. So everyone's sitting there looking. Overall, great day on the markets. Pretty much everything was up except for Bitcoin ABC, which was down. And I can't even believe it's still a token that's out there. But you know, across the board, Uniswap up 10%, Bitcoin Cash up another 2%, hitting, you know, it's up at 718 right now. Ripple just keeps on doing whatever it is Ripple does. Cardano and Polkadot continue their run up. So Cardano is now at just about a dollar, up 12.5% today. Polkadot up 5.5% to $31. So great day on the markets. Everyone's in a good mood.
Yep. Always in a good mood. Thank you to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a digital asset management platform that does DeFi and crypto tax tracking, gain loss reporting, and more. You can check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave platform. So up first, 1 week after Ethereum futures launched on CME, daily trading volumes reached a total of 75 million yesterday, almost doubling Friday's volume of 40 million.
Yeah, so the CME, obviously the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. Bitcoin futures have been trading on the exchange for quite some time, and they have had, you know, as things have changed, varying levels of ups and downs on it. It's a big deal because of a few things. First of all, it's obviously a big deal because this is the preeminent commodities exchange in the entire world. This adds legitimacy. It adds liquidity to the overall markets. You know, anytime you're injecting trading activity, you are increasing liquidity, even if it is a futures. But essentially, like, you think about what happened with GameStop. There are all these knock-on effects from people buying options and futures and all these kinds of things. So you buy futures, the people selling it to you might hedge by actually buying the underlying asset right now, or not. They might take the risk on it, but there's always underlying action happening on. So this is a big deal. And this is also, you know, the other reason this is a big deal is that I think I get the sense that some of the Ethereum run up right now has to do with how much is getting locked in the Ethereum 2.0 contracts. So right now, you know, there's almost $4 billion locked in the Ethereum 2.0 smart contract that is unclawbackable. I mean, essentially you cannot do anything with the Ethereum 2.0 contract. The money is in there. It has to stay in there until they kind of get to the next level with Ethereum 2. That means that there's a lot of people that put a lot of Ethereum into that smart contract and are not selling it. And maybe they're regretting that right now. Like maybe they're looking at an $18,000 price and they're saying, hey, or $19,000 price, and hey, maybe I wish I could have actually sold something right now. Which sort of leads to a secondary question, which is I wonder if they're going to see a big drawdown when that contract finally unlocks. But that's sort of a different issue overall. But the high level is that any other mechanisms to add trading around Ethereum without requiring the physical asset, which is an issue because, again, the physical asset is getting locked up a lot, is a really good thing and is probably good for the industry overall. So I think that's why you're seeing this, and it's a great thing all around, and we're all happy.
So next, Robinhood announces plans to offer crypto deposits and withdrawals.
So this has been a complaint about Robinhood from the very, very beginning, which is Robinhood would let you buy cryptocurrency, but did not let you withdraw it, which essentially, if you ask me, sure sounds like they were fractional reserving cryptocurrency. Don't trust anyone. Look, there's two different levels of there's two different levels of not your keys, not your coins. The first level is an exchange where not your keys, exchange, not your coins, but you can probably get your coins, especially with like something like Coinbase, which is a pretty legitimate regulated exchange. There was then the next level, which is not your keys, not your coins, can't get your coins, which is Robinhood, Webull, a few of these other ones that are out there. You know, seriously, you guys, if there's nothing else you take from this entire podcast, as we are approaching our 100th episode, there's literally nothing you take from this. Please don't put your money in these. This is not, these are, you're making derivative bets on this stuff, which essentially is meaningless. And we all know derivative bets and any type of bets on GameStop, on Robinhood are essentially meaningless. Do not use Robinhood to buy cryptocurrencies. Just if you're going to AML, just AML all the way into Coinbase and use them, and then store your crypto on a Trezor. This is the way.
All right, next, Bitwise launches DeFi crypto index fund.
Seen lots of index funds launching. The one that I actually have watched the most. So Bitwise is doing one of these kind of like over the counter ish things that they're hoping to be able to offer to actual high net worth individuals. So like a not a reg C, but a, you know, an accredited investor kind of investment. The one that I like, there's a few that are out there right now, and I'll tell you the ones that I like. I personally have been kind of partial to Power Index. I think they're doing some really interesting stuff. I think their coin, you know, you hear me talk a lot about tokenomics on this show, and every now and again I say I genuinely don't understand the tokenomics of something. You know, Power Index is one of the actual tokens out there that I think is very interesting, that is doing some cool stuff, because essentially what they're doing is creating a forum where they're holding the index funds, but then allowing their overall governance token to direct voting power for the funds, for the actual tokens held by their overall index fund. That's really powerful in a lot of ways, and I think they're onto something. A lot of these other guys that are essentially just doing tracking tokens or tracking index funds, I'm not really sure there's a ton of value in it, because you know what Power Index is doing with CVP is concentrating voting power. That's the whole point of the token, which is actually doing something really, really clever. Just investing in a basket of DeFi funds, just do it yourself. Like, honestly, it's not that hard to look at what these guys are holding and just buy a basket of it, market weight it, you know, readjust your weights once a week or something. Don't worry about it. You know, hold the tokens themselves. It's kind of like the not your keys, not your coins. It's kind of the same thing as if you're going through a disintermediary on this and you're paying 20% management fees for them to track at a percentage. You know, worst case, just set up a balancer pool for it and put some stuff in it, and then, yeah, as you want to do it. So yeah, it's cool stuff. There are some interesting projects on index funds right now, but I'm not sure the Bitwise one is particularly interesting.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's talk about NFTs.
Let's talk about NFTs. You know, honestly, I bag on NFTs. I like art. Like I collect photography and I'm a fan of physical art. I don't personally, I am open-minded about cryptocurrency. There is almost nothing in the world that I am more open-minded about than cryptocurrency. NFTs are one of these things that I still don't fully get it, but you know what? At the end of the day, this market is absolutely exploding. Like there was a digital, I don't know what you call it, because it's, you're not buying the rights to I still don't know even how to even use my words to discuss what an NFT really represents on the blockchain. But there was a over $1 million sale of an NFT the other day. Top Shot, which is a NFT based it's a NFT trading card, I think is probably the best way to describe it, of moments from NBA games that you essentially own the moment from the NBA game. You don't own the moment. You don't own the footage. You get no copyright attributes to that footage. You just get this thing on a website that shows the slam dunk. All that being said, the prices have exploded. And suddenly there's like your people paying hundreds of thousands of dollars for these Top Shots. So, you know, I will be the first to say that I don't have to understand everything to know that there's cool stuff happening. There is cool stuff happening in the NFT market right now. My play on it is looking at the underlying blockchain. So there's a few different coins that are actually supporting the NFT markets. once I think NFTs will find a place. I think that we will find a really cool use for them. I don't think we found it yet, but I do believe that we will find a really cool use for them. When that happens, the blockchains that are supporting NFTs and then the exchanges that are essentially allowing for the sale of it will benefit from it. So that's kind of my play on it. And maybe over the next couple of days, I'll do some research and find some interesting blockchains that are working with the NFTs that we can talk about, because that to me is the play, less than trying to buy, you know, a Michael Jordan Top Shot right now. But hey, we'll see. I don't know.
All right. That'll do it for today. Thank you for listening to the DeFi Daily. You can follow us on Twitter at the DeFi Daily.
All right. Have a good one.